This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Your thoughts and opinions, 603-283-6160, if you'd like to do that. Again, the number 603-283-6160, and with you in the studio tonight, it's Aria,
Nikki, and Bonnie.
And coming up, we're going to tell you about, well, we're going to have a discussion about whether or not God should be called He. The Church of England evidently is considering the possibility that, no, maybe God should not be called
God. Is non-binary.
That's, I mean, I think so, technically speaking, I mean, right? I
would
don't
have
know.
To think of God as literally non-binary, not in the way that humans have created non-binary, where basically they create a new binary, so it makes no sense.
Yeah.
But in the way that literally, how could God be everything outside of the universe, you know, be everything, be the only thing that could have thought it all up, and be a man or a woman? It makes no sense. It's just the human, like we've talked about, the human ego creating God into something that they can understand.
Absolutely. And Iranian dancing, if you remember a number of years ago, some teenagers were arrested in Iran for dancing to the song Happy. That's still going on. Iran hasn't gotten any chill since then. But first, I want to talk about, what was it that I wanted to talk about, Bonnie?
The judge?
Yes, thank you. The judge in Las Vegas, a number of weeks ago, we alluded to this guy who was getting in trouble with the Ethics Commission and had resigned and then went on to kill himself. So last time we got into it, we started getting a bunch of calls, and we didn't get into the actual article. So let's go ahead and dive into it, Bonnie.
A Las Vegas judge commits suicide after facing ethics probe for demanding an investigation into alleged sex trafficking ring.
This okay, is from, hold on. Run this by me again.
The judge, it's a woman, commits suicide after facing an ethics probe because she demanded an investigation into an alleged sex trafficking ring. The reason I brought this story in is because it's kind of like a, who's really the bad guy here? Like, obviously I just want to say the judge and the cops, but it's like they're both kind of the bad guy.
I want to make sure I understand, though. She was trying to investigate a child sex trafficking ring?
Yeah, but she's a judge. She can't do an investigation.
Right, but, and as punishment for that, they opened an ethics investigation against her,
right,
which led to her resignation and her suicide.
We don't know that that's why she killed herself. It's just suspicious.
Did she kill herself?
Right.
Yeah, see, I didn't know, when we talked about this previously, I didn't know anything about the child sex ring. I thought this was just a,
it's just a sex trafficking ring, not child.
Well, I didn't know anything about the sex trafficking ring. I mean, I thought it was just this judge who was facing an ethics probe who then killed herself.
Yeah, because now I'm getting, like, some conspiracy theory,
yeah,
but you know, like now,
hashtag judge didn't kill herself kind of thing.
That's what I'm feeling.
Right, exactly. It's really hard to tell who's the bad guy here. Okay, let's get into it. A former Las Vegas judge committed suicide a year after she resigned from her position after facing an ethics investigation. Per the Clark County Coroner's Office, which is Las Vegas, oh wait, we already said that. Judge Melanie Andres Tobiasen died of a self-inflicted gunshot wound, which is, you know, a rare way for a woman to kill themselves.
It's an extremely...
Yeah, normally that's how men kill themselves. Typically, women try to overdose on medications or things like that.
That's why women have a lower success rate with suicide than men do, because men go for the guns, and women tend not to do that. So that's definitely alarming. It's not impossible.
Yeah, but red flag number one.
Yeah.
Or number three.
According to Andres Tobiasen, she resigned in an attempt to avoid a complicated ethics investigation that started when she attempted to rescue her daughter from being allegedly sex trafficked.
Okay, so her daughter was sex trafficked, and she attempted to investigate it?
And rescue her daughter from being sex trafficked is a little an extreme way to characterize that, but from based on what I've read from this so far.
All right. Well, what does this say?
That Andres Tobiasen's troubles began when her 16-year-old daughter started to work at Top Notch, a clothing store that Andres Tobiasen believed was running a prostitution ring that would recruit teenage girls.
Okay, so she started working at this clothing store, and her mom was like, they're actually selling hookers there.
That's it. In an act she believed would protect her daughter, Tobiasen... Oh, wait, I don't want to skip to that part. I want to explain why she thought that. And I thought it... I'm pretty sure it goes into this.
But that is what she thought, right? That this convenient... So was she crazy? Or was there actual reason to believe that this clothing store was operating a sex trafficking ring?
Well, I guess that's what she wanted them to get into, but for some reason it's not here. Maybe I read like multiple articles about this, but I thought it explained kind of like just that the daughter had been proposed, you know, hey, if you want more work, you could do this. But never at any point was she rescued from being forced to be a prostitute.
But was that option actually on the table?
So I'm like, I don't want to, like, assume. All it says here is that she tried to warn the police about the store owner at the time, but she claimed she received no action from local law enforcement.
Right, but you've read other things about this. So, I mean, from your memory, was the girl told that, hey, you could make some more money if you had sex with some of our customers? Or is this just some insane thing that the judge fabricated in her imagination?
I don't know if there's any way to know, because she probably wouldn't just even come out with that stuff because she wanted there to be, you know, like an investigation. And you don't just, you know, you gotta save things for court, stuff like that. I don't remember there being a specific, like, quote that they wrote or something like that.
Sounding crazy so far. Let's put it on hold for a minute and go to the phone. So we have Alu on the line from here in New Hampshire. Alu Axelman from Liberty Block. You're on Free Talk Live.
Hi, guys. I want to change the subject, I guess, and talk about a bunch of the bills here in New Hampshire. There are a bunch of bills for gun control and a few good bills to nullify federal gun laws. And there were hearings today for pretty much all of those bills in the House Criminal Justice Committee. And a lot of them are proposed by free staters. A lot of free staters came out to support it. So I know I heard a little bit of pessimism last few weeks from some people on the show about people being potentially lazy. I think Bonnie mentioned that some people are not always exerting their fullest practical effort possibly, which is true. But a lot of people, when I went to the State House today, I saw, you know, dozens of free staters, some of them elected, and working their butts off testifying all day in Representative Hall because they put the hearing in Rep Hall, which has 400 seats, obviously, because they expected a big turnout. We had a big turnout and some media. And a lot of people, like 80% of those testifying, were in support of the good bills to block federal gun laws, and they opposed the bad gun bills.
I mean, that's awesome. Great, but I don't want to box people in and say, like, you know, speaking at a congressional hearing or a House hearing or whatever is the only form of activism out there, right? Like, it's great that people are willing to go and do that, but just because someone isn't going to speak at bill hearings, I don't think it's a mark against them.
Yeah, if something isn't that important to me to drive an hour out, I'll write it online, and I've written plenty of them online, testimonies online, but I just can't. I'm a little jaded for the fact that there was a bill to get rid of the drug war. Just let's just cut that out. Let's just not have any laws about drugs. And me and Ian were the only ones that showed up.
Yeah,
I know that's disappointing. I am disappointed too.
I don't know about turnout, but I'm not convinced. I'm not sold on the possibility that it even matters to speak at a bill hearing because, like, the secession petition.
We had, like, almost 100 people there, right?
I don't know. I didn't count. But everyone there was speaking in favor of secession.
Aside
and then
from
what
two
happened?
People.
I didn't remember.
There was
two
one
people.
Conservative guy at the end.
Almost everyone. But then unanimously, the committee voted to send the bill away. Like, all
that was
of
like
our speaking
huge
about
bill,
it.
Bill, though. You know, that was something
well,
that they
matter.
Brought out all the stops.
When I don't it, think
like,
it ever matters. All of our speaking, all of our writing, it doesn't matter.
I think that it
yeah,
has.
There are a few elements that I would like to say. Number
go
one,
ahead,
yes, Aria, you're right. In general, testifying to the committee is very unlikely to sway a lot of the committee members. Almost all of them will vote either partisan or how they felt beforehand. But again, great arguments, if they're somewhat on the fence, could sway them. But the reason we go out and the reason I, being the busiest person in the universe, went out to the State House today for like 5 hours and testified on a bunch of these bills is Number one, it influences them a little bit. Number two, it's on video forever. Number three, it helps everyone else there, the Moms Demand Action, gun control, communist freaks there. It makes them less likely to stay here and discourages them and makes them want to move back to Mass. And it encourages the other few hundred Free Staters there, encourages them, saying, look, there's one more good person who's supporting liberty. So I think there are so many good elements to it that that's why it's worth doing. I know I'm not under the illusion I'm going to sway every state up in the world to believe in freedom just because I'm so eloquent and so amazing.
I got to agree. That's what I literally told my friend that was here like the day after I testified for the DMT bill is, like, mainly I just want to be talking to the camera, if nothing else. But the other thing is, with, like, the CACR32, that was a radical type of bill, you know? That was something that would change a lot of stuff. But stuff like, just let's not prosecute people for DMT anymore when you already basically don't do it at all. I think that lots of people were on the fence, and it wasn't something that was, like, it was going to take years of understanding liberty to change their minds. Like, I think that you can actually make a difference when it's things like that, or maybe even gun control. The thing about it is just that, like, me and Ian have to request to go every time and be back at a certain time. It's really stressful. And I mean, like, I don't know. We've gone to plenty of them. And now that there's the online testimony, it's a little tempting to use that more often.
Yeah. And I do agree, you know, if you're really passionate about a bill, I think if there's even a slight chance that going to the state house and testifying could help, you know, it's definitely worth it. I actually wish I could go to more of these things, but it's just, I'm not very active in group chats, so I don't always find out when things are happening, and it's difficult for me working night shift because I sleep all day, and then I, you know, I have to sleep before I do Free Talk Live, or I have to sleep before I go to my other job, so I really do wish I had more time to do stuff like that.
I certainly don't mean to sound like I'm trying to discourage anyone from doing it. Certainly, it's great activism. I'm just saying, it's not where I choose to spend my time because I'm not convinced that it would do any good for me to be doing it.
Yeah, and I think it's important for everyone to not only be following what they like to do, but there's all different kinds of activism, and it's important that, you know, people are doing all different kinds of things. So, you know, if somebody likes to go to the state house and testify, and that's really where their energy, where they feel their energy is well spent, they should do that. If somebody wants to host a radio show, they should do that. If somebody wants to post on Twitter or Facebook or go to local soup kitchens, like, whatever people like to do, all of those things are very important.
And the main thing about what I have been complaining about isn't just that people aren't doing the thing I want them to do. Like, I wouldn't call Aria a do-nothing because she doesn't go to testify at bills because she does lots of other stuff. There are literally people here who are like, I do nothing, and I'm going to just reap the benefits of the New Hampshire becoming the free state one day just by existing. And it's just like, you're taking up space. Like, seriously, it's the same thing as the people who say, I will totally move to New Hampshire once you guys secede. Like,
yeah,
just please stay away.
It's kind of offensive, honestly. It's like, we put in all this effort just for you to come here after we secede. You're not even going to help. And I don't want to be, like, super salty about it, but...
No, I do, because if they don't want to put in the work, then we don't need them. We don't
stay in America.
Yeah, we don't need the people here who want... Who want to eat the cake but not bake it, right?
Yeah, and that's like
our
whole thing, right?
Put in work. We want those who are willing to put in effort and get down and dirty, put in the effort, make sacrifices, and move. The other
well,
thing
maybe to an extent, but I don't care if they just want to come here and vote for Free Staters. You know, I would prefer they do more than that. But look, if they're going to come here and vote,
I gotta go.
If they're going to, thank you, Nikki. Can you go record the? So anyway, if they're going to come here and vote for people who are Free Staters, for people who are involved in the Free State Project, or people who are libertarians or whatever, then I'm totally okay with that. I don't think they have to be out there doing any sort of activism more than that. But even that is better than these people out there who are like, well, I tell you what, if you manage to break away from the United States, then I'll come. It's like, well, how about you come help us secede from the United States? They're the ones I want. And I don't think I'm alone in this. Thank you so much. I think we lost Alu. The phone.
Oh, no, I'm still here. I have two more points. Just go to testify. Another big thing is you network. So I met, you know, like a few dozen people I didn't even know before, including a self-defense lawyer who's pro-gun, who's awesome, who's going to help with some bills.
That's
and
great.
The other big thing is you can get, so you meet a lot of people at these events, obviously. And Nikki, as far as not knowing this stuff, You have no excuse. All you got to do is read libertyblocks.com every article and listen to all of our podcasts.
I know.
You'll be pretty darn informed.
I already got scolded by Alou for not looking at the document he sent me.
Yeah. So, and the other big thing is, it'll give you perfect, like, great video and audio for that you can use for grandstanding and other purposes for videos. For instance, Ian's done this a lot. He's made amazing video compilations of our testimony on the good bills for Odyssey for freaking.com and stuff. But also, a guy named, I think, Mark Robinson is the guy who's currently Lieutenant Governor of North Carolina. Now, North Carolina, I think, elects separately a governor and lieutenant governor. Everyone's Democrat. North Carolina, a Democrat governor, I believe, but lieutenant governor is a decent conservative, decently pro-freedom on some issues. And he got famous. The only thing he did in his life to get famous, pretty much, a few years ago, he made a viral video. It's in that, like, a local town committee or something. A tiny thing in a local council or something, maybe state legislature, yelling about gun rights, saying, we are the majority or whatever. And he got famous, viral from that, and then he ran for office and won. So,
I mean, that's all well and good. He didn't get famous for that. I mean, there's thousands of people going viral for this thing, and then they're forgotten about 3 days later. You remember this guy because he spoke on a subject that you're passionate about, but I've never heard about this guy. I've gone viral running for sheriff. No one remembers that. No one cares anything about that. I'm not famous because of that. This guy isn't famous because of that. Famous is that they had a moment in the sun.
Yeah, but who cares about being famous? I think it's more important to influence people.
Yeah, I don't think that's the reason that this guy won or did anything great. I mean, I'm cool. I'm glad he had this awesome speech and that it was pro-gun rights and, you know, all of that stuff, but that isn't necessary, right? I think just activism, just getting out there and doing something that's pro-liberty is way more important than trying to catch a moment of the sun and then running for office.
Yeah, but what I mean is running for office, let's say Bonnie runs for governor in 15 years, she's going to have to pay a certain amount, let's say $17 per person as far as overall name recognition and for votes. But if she can get, with a great speech in the State House that she gave on the drugs, if she can get free name recognition or free 200,000 voters in Hampshire to know her name and face and everything, that's a win. So that's kind of where I'm going with that.
I mean, you're absolutely right. And thank you so much for the
before
call.
Before you let Alou go, Alou, I really want you to add me to your Slacktivism group chat. Because I would love to have more Slacktivism.
I thought you were in it.
No, you never added me. He has a great idea.
I'll add you right now.
He made a Telegram group called Slacktivism that sends out, like, anytime there's an easy thing to do, like, all you have to do is take 10 minutes and do this thing, he'll send it out, and I would love to be a part of that.
Well, thank you so much, Alou, for the call tonight. And, I mean, I would absolutely love to see Bonnie running for governor in, you know, 10 or 15 years or whatever. I mean, who knows what the future actually holds? I can't even get past, you know, there's nothing but shadows in front of me for 5 weeks out from now. God only knows where I'll be in 5 weeks.
Bunch of bullcrap just happened.
Yeah, let's...
So, I mean, I was excited. I was really excited because the cops were coming to issue me to serve me, and I was really excited because I was going to be able to challenge a ticket for the first time. I haven't talked about it on air yet.
Super boring, isn't it?
Well, I'm really excited to do it. It's boring to, like, 99.9% of the population, but guess what? It's going to be on March 14th.
No way.
I'm sure that was an accident.
I wondered about that. I don't know. I don't see any reason that they would do that on purpose, but that really is.
I do. I would that not is, put it past
the Fed,
them.
Well, we have to explain. For those who don't know, March the 14th is literally the day of my sentencing. Mm-hmm. That is the day where I'm going to be sentenced as one of the co-defendants in the same case where Bonnie's boyfriend and the person who owns the studio that we're in was found guilty on March the 14th.
Well, he's my husband.
Yes.
But
sorry.
I always say the same thing.
On March the 14th, I'm being sentenced. I have a federal hearing on that exact day. And Bonnie, you requested a court date on this parking thing.
It must appear at 8 a.m.
Is there a way to reschedule it?
That's the thing. I'm going to try to
I think you can, because I've had to reschedule, tickets before.
Yeah, I'm getting a heart transplant that day.
Yeah, I don't know how. Maybe it's coincidental, but man, what? That doesn't seem very likely.
I don't believe in coincidence, so.
I don't know that I do in this regard, certainly. That's a bit on the nose for the city of Keene, but, I mean, I would not put it past
them. And they were
them.
Pissed today. They were all like... You know, at first she starts off, I'm sorry, they as in the people at the window for the parking, whatever they call
the
themselves.
City Hall?
Yeah, City Hall, they have a parking window. You go up and you're like, hello, I got this ticket on my car. I would like to challenge it. And she was like, okay, I need this and this. And she was like, really giving me the runaround because the car isn't under Bonnie Freeman. It's under the Shire Free Church.
Right.
And Ian was there filming, and she was, like, slowly getting more and more irritated. She's like, said to Ian, okay, please don't film my desk. And it was just like, he just continued filming. She was like, ugh, whatever. It's just like...
He has the right to film whatever he wants.
Yeah,
it's a public building.
It's whatever he can literally see, he's allowed to film.
She knows this.
And she knows this. I mean, she knows who he is. She never asked his name. It was talking about him saying he the whole time. And then they tried to issue it to Ian, and I was like, no.
I can't believe they were going to issue it. They did last time for me as well, so maybe it's time. They need to relearn that, you know.
Yep, they dropped it for Ian. Yeah. They dropped it for Ian right before the raid. He challenged the ticket, and they ended up dropping it, but whatever.
I'll try to get it continued.
But I'm still excited to be challenging my first ticket, but it's just that Ian obviously
has to go.
You've
never gotten a ticket before?
I've gotten a ticket in San Antonio, but it didn't even cross my mind to challenge it. I never even thought of that concept, really.
I think usually traffic violations are pretty good.
I mean, they're easier to challenge. I mean, that's where you want to play, quotation marks, play with the court system, right? You don't want to do it while you're on federal trial or whatever.
No,
but
definitely
like,
not.
Parking ticket trial, yeah, sure. Try that sovereign citizen stuff. Why not? What do you got to lose, right?
Right.
$5? I don't even do that. I'm just like, hey, I'm here and I'm not going to pay this. And they're like, okay, cool, whatever. See ya.
More often than not, that does seem to be the case. But, you know, if they do fine you, then you have to pay it. I challenged one of my tickets, but I ended up just pleading guilty the day of the trial because I had other things that I had to go and take care of, and I didn't want to sit there all day, and I wasn't feeling well.
That's the worst part about it, is being trapped there all day.
Yeah, and I had just started chanting, so I was nauseated and was quitting smoking, and it was not a good time. I was like, I can't do this. Here's your $10. Leave me the hell alone. I'm going home.
It's 15 now.
Well, it was 10 then.
Yeah, I know. I'm just complaining.
And maybe it was 15 then as well. I don't remember because the way it increments, it starts out at 10 or 15, and then it goes up to 30, and then it maxes out at $60 after a certain number of days, right? I don't remember, but yeah, all we need is more people challenging their parking tickets. It's really simple. If even 1 in 10 people challenge their parking tickets, it wouldn't be cost-efficient for them to carry on this nonsense.
I mean, they're still going to do it.
I had a friend who...
Well, they wouldn't be able to. They wouldn't be able to afford it. They'd have to increase the parking ticket fine to $100 a ticket in order to pay for the court costs.
I wouldn't put it past the state to do that.
People would revolt. If you gave them a parking ticket, it's like,
would
this ticket's $100, people in Keene would.
I mean, we would, but I don't think that your typical normie statist would.
I think that might make it pretty obvious, like, what's going on. Because, like, my friend today told me he got a ticket, but he was going to challenge it, but he didn't because it was just $7. So he just paid the $7. I'm not saying he did anything wrong. Like, you know, fair enough. But if it was $100, they might be like, holy crap, for parking, you know?
That's why they want to keep it low. But if you request a trial, that gets expensive, and they start having to raise the increase, and they start having to raise the ticket price. 603-283-6160. It is Free Talk Live.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Who listens to radio at night? EMTs, truck drivers, law enforcement, and many other hardworking people just like you, buying products and services from companies just like yours. Many companies owe their success to radio. It's the engaging medium. Call 877-996-4327 or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com.
USA News Update. President Biden hitting the road, taking his post-State of the Union message to Madison, Wisconsin today. It's where he highlighted his work as a job creator.
We're building an economy from the bottom up and the middle out, with products made in America, with union labor.
Biden also talked about infrastructure projects in Wisconsin that are being funded by his bipartisan infrastructure law. Ukrainian President Zelensky addressed Britain's parliament today. He thanked Britain for its unwavering support of Ukraine during the Russian invasion. Zelensky also used the speech to urge Britain to provide fighter jets to his country to help fight the Russians. We may be closer to a breast cancer vaccine than we think. Cleveland Clinic researchers announcing they've moved to the next step in their process of creating such a vaccine. The new phase will enroll people who are cancer-free but at a higher risk for developing breast cancer. John Schaefer, USA News.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
It is Free Talk Live, and you can join us. Us is Nikki, Aria, and Bonnie. 603-283-6160. If you would like to weigh in on whatever is important to you, you can change the subject. You can talk about what we've been discussing or whatever. At 603-283-6160. Coming up, we're going to talk about... I like bring up the subject of religion. Mm-hmm. And it's just fascinating to me. We're going to talk about the Church of England... combines two of these subjects that I, one of them I like talking about, the other I don't. I don't like talking about transgenderism or non-binaryism or any of this other crap. Because to me it's just like, it's like talking about just something that I exist with every day. It's not worth talking about to me. I realize other people may find it fascinating, but I don't. But anyway, the Church of England considering using gender-neutral terms for God, also... a bill in, I think it was Pennsylvania, brought by Democrats, wants to ban the phrase Latinx, which is this apparently leftist way of replacing Latina and Latino.
Yeah, it's cringy.
With a genderless term. I didn't realize that's what it was about.
Mm-hmm.
I never really gave any thought to what Latinx was used for.
Yeah, it's some weird woke crap, and it's actually really offensive to a lot of Latino people. Like, they're really... They're doing it with everything, you know, and it's been offensive to a lot of people.
I just think, who asked for it? Because I've never met a
white
Hispanic
people.
Person who's ever used that term, ever.
Like usual, it was white people.
Not surprising to hear it, and we're going to get into that, but first let's go to the host. We have Chuck on the line from Washington. Chuck, you're on Free Talk Live.
Yeah. I think lastly, thank you for bringing this up again, and I really appreciate the conversation that is focused every Wednesday, and the thoughtful consideration of different religions and spiritual thoughts and so on and so forth. Thank you. So
yeah, absolutely.
This is an example of a religion. Okay, it's not spiritual. There's no spiritual elements going on here. It's a battle of religion because it has to do with the whole theater of the public domain and people getting
upset.
What's that?
What is?
Well, the whole idea of calling God a girl. You know, that's something that each one of us are individually are going to have to go through when we're about ready to die and reconcile ourselves. And that's where the important thing is, I think, with everybody. It's a spiritual thing. And what you're talking about here is some hootie-hoo that has a lot of, you know, political power here talking about religion and the public sector and causing a ruckus and just trying to get a newspaper article that really doesn't have anything to do with spirituality at all.
I mean, this possibly is a result of some, like, woke people doing things, but I think it's pretty obvious that God wouldn't have a gender. To even think that God has a gender is absolutely ridiculous.
It's a little weird coming from a Christian church, considering the fact that they call God a father
yeah.
and a son. It seems like that's pretty, you know, it's set in stone for their religion, so it's weird to be changing it in 2023, and I could see why some Christians would be like, that's not what we believe, because it's not what they believe. It's just that to an obviously God would, if God existed, it wouldn't be a boy or a girl. It would be beyond that. It'd be like everything and nothing.
I mean, I also think it's ridiculous to believe in most of the things that Christians believe in, so maybe that's why I have that belief, but I can see where you're coming from, Bonnie. If somebody was a Christian, that's their whole thing, is that God is a man, so it would kind of be a turnoff to them.
Yeah, thank you so much for the call tonight, Chuck. Well, I was saving it for later, but I mean, let's go ahead and save it for later, because I want to get back into this judge from Las Vegas. Before we were talking about that, and again, thank you for the call tonight, Chuck. That is coming up, this whole genderless God thing. But first, we're talking about this judge in Las Vegas who has killed herself after facing an ethics investigation following her allegation that this clothing store was prostituting out its employees.
And it would recruit young girls from there. So to me, it seems possible that, like, it doesn't explicitly say what she thought, but it seems to me that she thought her daughter had gotten, you know, proposed, hey, do you want to do this? But not necessarily that, like, actually, if you go into the clothing store, you just have sex with the employees. You know, I don't think it was something like that. It was more like they were. It says they would use it to recruit young girls.
I mean, like, prostitution and sex trafficking are two completely different things. You know
yes.
what I mean? Because, like, sex trafficking, what I think about sex trafficking, it usually appears to be against people's will. And
it's involuntary. It's sex trickery.
Yeah, they're being held hostage.
Right.
That's generally what trafficking is, as I understand it. I mean, we butcher the word in the United States. We talk about human trafficking and stuff like that. But a lot of times when they talk about human trafficking, what they mean is human smuggling.
I mean, that's what I would think.
Yeah, and it's just bringing people over here who want to be here, which is fine.
Well, yeah, so that's not, to me, that's not human trafficking.
No, human trafficking would be, hey, you know, your wife wants to travel to the United States, so we're going to bring her there, but she's going to have to be our indentured servant for the next 7 years. And if we decide that, you know, we want to enslave her and make her a sex slave, then that's what we'll do. These things that you hear about, like, in underground markets, that would be human trafficking. But in and of itself, smuggling someone over here or prostitution, as you mentioned, prostitution's legal in many places in Nevada.
And that's what I was going to say is so weird about this. It's like, I know that it's not legal in Clark County, which is Las Vegas, but it is legal in other counties. Why would anybody be running an illegal, underground, convoluted prostitution ring in a clothing store with a clothing store as a front when they could just move up the county and just own a brothel?
Because Las Vegas has all the tourism.
That's a good point.
And if you're have to do it illegally, this is the, one of the problems with illegal prostitution. If you're already breaking the law by having a prostitution ring,
yeah, why not have slaves too?
Well, why not have 16-year-olds?
Yeah.
That way you're guaranteed to get, you know, the perverts.
Yeah. That's true.
Well, this judge, she believed that her daughter was her daughter did join Top Notch as a job. You know, she was a 16-year-old working in a clothing store, and this judge believed that they were using that as a front to recruit teenage girls. So in an act she believed would protect her daughter, which I don't know why, just like quitting didn't protect her, Andres Tobiasen reached out to the local law enforcement to warn them about the store owner at the time, but she claimed she received no action.
Wait, did her daughter in fact quit?
It doesn't even say.
Okay.
I wish there was more information on that specific part of this.
Yeah, what media outlet covered this?
Gateway Pundit. And I think I've heard bad things about them before, and their, like, little tagline underneath is kind of confusing, or, you know, like, gives me a hint that they might be right-wingy. It says, "We report the truth and leave the Russian collusion fairy tale to the conspiracy media."
What?
They're definitely right-wing.
What a strange thing to say.
It really is. As their, like, number one tagline that, like,
yeah,
quoted with their name.
Out of anything they could have said, that's, yeah, okay.
But still, investigative journalism, it doesn't even require some real investigation to ask some of these questions that they should have asked, right? They're the ones who ran this story. Why didn't they ask whether or not this girl quit her job?
You know that, and I mean, the lady's dead now. For all we know, like, all that stuff got covered up.
Right?
I mean, I don't think it would be that hard to find out, though, some of those details, right?
Well, we do know that after the local cops wouldn't act, it led Andres Tobiasen, which they keep spelling her name differently every time I read this, by the way. Like, so this is a really crappy article. Anyways, it led her to reach out to federal investigators, which resulted in Nevada's Judicial Discipline Commission to launch an investigation into her, Andres Tobiasen, for breaching judicial rules, which is so weird. It's like, I didn't know you couldn't be a judge and reach out to the FBI. Like, it seems like if the FBI wants... it would be interested in a thing. It wouldn't matter who it came from. It seems more like to me that they used something, anything they could use to go against her to stop her.
I mean, it also could have been the manner in which she did it. Like, maybe she used her position as a judge to contact someone in the FBI that, you know, normally she would be adjudicating with this person, but now she's like, hey, also, I need you to do me a favor. That would be improperly using her connections as a judge, right?
Right.
So maybe she did something like that.
Says the New York Post reported more details regarding the probe. Andreas Tobiasen said she had to go to the FBI with the information after being ignored by local police, which resulted in officers investigating her for allegedly breaching judicial rules by making an allegation to federal agents. See, it doesn't really explain it, but I think what you're saying is probably the case.
It does seem like there wouldn't be anything against the rules for a judge to go, oh, hey, FBI, I have a tip for you.
It says that a complaint filed against Andreas Tobiasen alleged that she failed to comply with and uphold the law and allowed family interests and relations to influence her conduct, the Daily Mail reported. Valentine, the man behind the store Andreas Tobiasen believed was a prostitution ring, was later convicted of a burglary charge and would be a person of interest in a double homicide. And that's all.
But no charges about running a sex ring or whatever?
Nope.
It sounds unlikely. I don't know the specifics here, and I really wish Gateway Pundit had told us more about it. When you said that's all, that's the end of the article?
That's the end of the article.
They just sort of end it right there?
Yeah, I kind of think I just chose the one I was on last or something, because I remember more details.
Yeah. I wish they had gone into more of those details. Well, I guess it frees us up to talk about this genderless God thing that, you know, we almost got into. It's a messed up situation, man. I wish I knew. I wish I had any of these answers, but Gateway Pundit just...
I know from the other ones I read, she said she was quitting because of the ethics investigation probe. I mean, that doesn't make you look good.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah, but she first resigned.
At the same time, the people who do the ethics investigation probes, they're probably not exactly, you know, like, squeaky clean. So she might just know from, you know, experience that they're going to come against her with... you know, a bunch of crap, like, oh, look, we found porn on your computers as well.
Or who knows, she could have been threatened to quit.
And then she shot herself in the face a year later.
Was that where she shot herself in the face?
Oh, I don't know. I didn't. Okay. I don't know for sure, but with a gunshot.
Well, she definitely shot herself. Well,
I was about to say in the face, then she definitely didn't kill herself because that is impossible, pretty much. You can't hold a gun like this and pull the trigger. It's pretty difficult to do.
Yeah. But I don't know. Maybe not impossible, but shooting a person who wanted to kill themselves,
they're
not gonna believe.
Shoot themselves in the face.
I don't know why I brought it to the face.
Right.
I don't know.
Fair enough.
In the head region, somewhere around there.
So, the Church of England, as we were going to get into, wants to consider the use of gender-neutral terms for God. The Church of England is considering whether to stop referring to God as he, after priests asked to be allowed to use gender-neutral terms instead. So, the priests within the Church of England evidently are asking for this. The church said it would launch a new commission on the matter in the spring. Any potential alterations, which would mark a departure from traditional teachings dating back millennia, would have to be approved by the synod, the church's decision-making body. And I don't know that I assume the Church of England and the Roman Catholic Church are, there's a schism there for a reason. I don't remember all the specifics. I didn't know that they maintained their own separate branch because they are effectively Catholics, if I remember correctly.
I don't know anything about the Church of England. I mean, I don't know very much about Catholicism, but the synod thing, never even heard that word.
Yeah, I may have been pronouncing it incorrectly, but I'm pretty sure the Church of England is Catholic. They're just not part of the Roman Catholic Church. But I'm not 100% sure. The RT, I don't even know what that stands for. The RT Reverend, I know what REV stands for, that's Reverend, but what does RT stand for? The Reverend Dr. Michael Ipgrave, Bishop of Lichfield and Vice Chair of the Liturgical Commission responsible for the matter, wow, he must feel important, said the church had been, quote, exploring the use of gendered language in relation to God for several years. So this is something they've already been thinking about, already been kicking around, and now some of their priests are like, hey, look, we want to call God Zay or whatever instead of he. After some dialogue between the two commissions in this area, a new joint project on gendered language will begin this spring. In common with other potential changes to authorize a liturgical provision, good Lord, why, I hate these people. The bishop's comments come in response to a question asked by the Reverend Joanna Staubert. Interesting. Joanna is definitely a girl's name. Some, the Church of England seems to allow female bishops.
Hmm.
I wonder if this results in them having more or less child rape than the Roman Catholic Church, because the Roman Church has a ton of it.
Oh, they don't allow females?
Well, the Roman Catholic Church does not allow women priests.
Hmm.
They can become nuns. But they can't become priests or bishops or reverends or whatever. But she's definitely a reverend. Or it's a dude named Joanna, which I guess is possible. It's unclear what would replace the term Our Father in the Lord's Prayer. As you mentioned, Bonnie, now, there's a lot of gendered language in Christianity about God. And it's very...
It just seems like, why not break off and create a new religion? Like, I'm not... It's just strange to me. Like, why does it have to be done? Like, these ancient texts said a thing, but we don't like that.
Yeah, you think they would, because there's so many different sects of Christianity.
Yeah,
that you think, yeah, that you like just branch off if you want to do this woke stuff, because you know this is going to piss a bunch of people off.
Well, that's effectively what they're doing, right? Is making their own branch of Christianity. I mean, they're changing. I can't even say for sure that they're changing the canon of Christianity, because I can't read the Aramaic or the Hebrew to say definitively whether or not God was even characterized as a male in these texts in the first place.
Well, and I guess the Church of England kind of is its own branch of Christianity, right?
As I understand it, they are.
Yeah, so I guess, you know, if people don't like it, they can just become Catholic or something.
Or they can form their own unique branch of Christianity.
Yeah.
But ultimately, these presumably are the people who determine what the Church of England believes.
I was going to say, and the thing is, it's kind of on them for being in a sect of Christianity that post, you know, Martin Luther, they still decided they're going to stick with the people who tell them what the Bible says instead of the ones that, oh, you get to read it yourself.
So the Lord's Prayer is the central Christian prayer that Jesus is said to have instructed his followers to say together down the generations. What the hell did they get that? Jesus isn't mentioned in the Lord's Prayer.
Wait, what?
According to these people, the Lord's Prayer is the central Christian prayer that Jesus instructed his followers to say together.
No, he did. He said, don't pray like this, pray like this. And then he said the Lord's Prayer on the Mount of Olives.
Okay, I stand correct. I thought the Lord's Prayer came from the Old Testament.
Nope.
Okay, never mind then. All right, my criticism is withdrawn. Conservative critics have hit back at the possibility of changes with the Reverend Dr. Ian Paul. Wait, is it really necessary to call these people both Doctor and Reverend? I mean,
reminds you of Captain, yeah, Doctor Reverend.
Yeah, is it one or the other enough? Right. Anyway, Dr. Ian Paul told the Telegraph that they would represent an abandonment of the church's own doctrine. He said, the fact that God is called Father can't be substituted by Mother without changing the meaning, nor can it be gender neutralized to Parent without loss of meaning. So maybe that's what they're suggesting instead of our Father, I mean, who art in heaven, our Parent.
I mean, and that's so true because they're doing the same thing to women where they're like, no, you know, just because there's a small percentage of men giving birth, which whatever. Yeah, that's fine that they're doing that. I don't care about that. The fact is that they're trying to take away the word mother and replace it with birthing person and person with a, you know, whatever, and breastfeeding individual or chest feeding. Sorry. It's this woke nonsense that is diluting meaning. Because, yes, if you're a Christian, it's Father. That's what it is. That's what they believe in. Whatever. We don't have to go, even though I believe that God, it's not. To me, my belief is it's completely ridiculous to assign God a gender. Okay, got it. I'm not Christian, though. So to these Christian people, it seems like it's really diluting meanings and watering things down, just like it's doing to women, where when they're, you know, going through this expansive experience of pregnancy and childbirth, we're going to take away, oh, you're not a mother, you're a birthing person now, and just dilute the meaning of these words.
I mean, you're absolutely right, because these are fundamentally different things in the first place. Like, you don't have to give birth in order to be a woman. You don't have to be pregnant
to be
a woman.
Being a woman and being a mother is such, you know, there's just so much that it contains that you can't water it down by calling it, and it's just straight up offensive. You know, if somebody's non-binary or trans and they're like, you know what, I feel more comfortable with being called a birthing person, or can you please refer to this as chest feeding? To me, like, cool, if out of respect for this person, yeah.
Is it chest feeding instead of breastfeeding?
Yeah,
but it
because
is
they're
literally
a man, even though it's still a breast, it just makes them uncomfortable. So whatever, if somebody wants me to use those terms for their specific care, I totally would, but don't dilute the entirety of all of the mothers and all of the women
just by
know?
Acting like the word mother is offensive. That's
yeah,
how,
like,
that's
it's not offensive.
You said it perfectly. I think that's exactly how I feel about this story. It's just like, create your own religion where you're basically everything Christianity except, you only use the word person instead of father. That's fine. Who cares? But, like, if you're trying to force these people who believe a certain thing not to because it's offensive to you now, you're just top down saying, nope, that's offensive, we won't use the word father, that's the thing I have a problem with.
See, this is where I disconnect from a lot of trans people, because you mentioned this, you paint this idea of this female to male trans person who has given birth and now they're breastfeeding, right? And they're upset, presumably, because they don't want to be called breastfeeding. It's
even though men
chest
can get
feeding,
breast right? cancer, well, so the, everyone has a breast, technically.
I mean, that aside, right, it's like, it's not the use of the word breast that is triggering their dysphoria or anything like that. It's the mammary glands and the fact that they are breastfeeding a human being, which a biological male cannot do. So if their source of their gender identity disorder is all of these things that mark them as feminine, which is what, you know, trans people tend to suggest as the source of their gender identity dysphoria, then it's just like the male-to-female trans person who isn't shaving their beard. It's like, well, it's not me calling you he that's bothering you. It's the beard on your face. Well, it's not the word chest, breast that's bothering them. It's the fact that they are breastfeeding.
Yeah,
so
I kind of wonder what made them go ahead with having a baby. You know,
well,
I mean,
the thing is, so, you know, like couples, say if it's a, you know, a trans couple and it's one of them's male to female, one of them's female to male, you know, if they want to have their own biological child, someone's going to have to carry it, yeah. And it's going to be easier for the person with the uterus to carry it, even though it's the father.
I understand, and I would be totally respectful to anybody that was in that situation that wanted to be called whatever, but I can't understand, I can't wrap my head around, we can't just adopt, we have to have our biological baby.
That's what's weird
to me.
Like, no, and I do feel that, and you know, there's so many things. It is extremely hard to adopt a child, and in today's world, you know, they're still calling people, you know, mentally unstable for being trans, or, you know, in a lot of places, so it would be extremely hard, and you have to have the money. There's so many things, so I do kind of get it. But my big question is, with the whole chest feeding thing, if referring to it as a breast is causing dysphoria, how does the act of breastfeeding not cause, like, lactating if
that's
you're
exactly
feeding
the point
a
that
child?
I was making.
Yeah, like, how is, so this name for it causes dysphoria, but you can literally feed a child and be lactating and that's not dysphoria, and be pregnant and give birth?
Yeah, the name isn't what's causing it. Just like, you know, me calling this person with a beard, he isn't causing their dysphoria. If they want to get rid of their dysphoria, if they want to actually improve themselves and get better, damn it, the point of transitioning is to get better, not to whine about how miserable you are. Yeah. If you want to actually get better, stop the breastfeeding. Shave the damn beard. Yeah. Do something to actually identify as the gender that you feel you are. Then and you'll get better.
That's why I think that it's just so strange that, I mean, it's just an opinion, but I mean, it's an uninformed opinion since I'm not in these people's positions, but I just can't wrap my mind around wanting to be neither gender. It just seems like you just want that, you know? It's not something that, like, I don't know.
So, you know what my big thing is? I'm not super wrapped up into, so the big thing about gender, right, is like the gender norms or how you present, right? So if you want to be a female and you want your gender to be female, you're going to start doing things like having long hair, you know, like things that make you appear as a woman.
Right.
So it's like the difference between gender and sex. So you can be a woman and ride motocross and do these manly things. You're allowed to do that. So I think that's where non-binary people are getting upset, because they don't want to conform to gender norms, but they don't have to.
There's a lot to talk about on this exact subject, so stay tuned for that, because it's really fascinating. I had never considered some of this until I read the book Nevada, but you make really good points. There's more coming up.
You ever get the feeling that the world is being held together with duct tape? Every day we're thrown some new meaningless drama in the fake news to distract us from the reality we're all about to face. Between the government trying to print their way out of debt, military conflicts, the disintegration of our most trusted institutions, and a looming food shortage, preparedness is no longer a choice. It's a necessity. You can trust My Patriot Supply. Our emergency food kits come packed with tasty meals, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one kit for each person in your family. Self-reliance is the only alternative to government food lines. Time is running out. Become ungovernable. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and save on dozens of different emergency food kits while you can. These kits are in stock, ship fast, and arrive in unmarked boxes for your privacy. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com before the next crisis strikes. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.